Thanks for checking out our weekly podcast. Our mission at Grace is to help people worship God, connect to others, and serve both. We hope that you'll be blessed and encouraged by this week's message. For more information about Grace, you can follow us on Facebook or check out our website at experiencegrace.church.
Thank you, church. Good morning. Man, y'all can sing. That was great. I love going to a church. I grew up in church my whole life, and there's nothing that saddens me more when you go to a church and a church doesn't sing. Y'all can sing. Man, your team here was awesome. They were rocking out. Your drummer was, I was like, yeah, that's what I need to get me going. Sing the hymn of heaven. Let's rock and roll, baby. Come on, it's Sunday. So like Pastor Josh said, I've had the privilege of going through this ordination process. And I've had the privilege of getting to know your pastor, and I can tell he's got a really special heart for you. And he is a heart of the people. And he cares for you deeply. And so it means a lot to me. Part of my ordination process is to have opportunities to preach. So Pastor Josh has offered space and a place for me to do that. And so I feel very honored to be here today. So I want to thank you, Pastor Josh. Thank you, church, for letting me be a part of this. Here's a little bit about me. I have a photo of my family. Two of the three kids aren't here. The one who's not here is Hunter in the middle. He's with Grandma and Grandpa. They went to church today back at our home church. I want to, online where the camera is, I want to say love you guys back home who's watching me today and representing. Appreciate you. But sitting on my wife's lap is Elaine. She is full of energy, sparkly pink princess, girly girl, loves unicorns and birthday parties. Hunter, like I said, he is full of energy and ADHD, and he is a ball of energy. And then this one right here, this is our one-year-old foster baby, Emma. Hunter and Elaine were both our foster babies, who we adopted, and then Emma, we are currently in the process of adopting her, if you could pray for that. We are currently working with the state of Illinois, which just makes the process even longer, so we're hoping to get through by the end of the year. And then this is my wife. Yep, I rizzed her up, and she's with me today. She is my my support. She's been with me through it all. She's been she's my rock. Turn with me, Psalm 23. We're going to talk about our shepherd and the Lord, our good shepherd. We all have our favorite Bible verses. The way I grew up, I grew up in church, and I grew up, I was born, and that week I was born, my dad was holding me in his arms when he got a knock on the door, and my dad went to the door, and there was someone from Lighthouse Baptist Church that shared a gospel tract with my dad, and he was saved. And then my dad was radically changed from that day forward, and he started going to church, and we as a family went to church. So I went to church, started going to church the week that I was born. And because of him and because of the foundation that was taught and the radical change that the gospel gives in Jesus Christ, the story of Jesus, I'm here today pursuing pastoral ministry. But anyway, I grew up in a time where a lot of things, what you did is when there was a guest speaker, you would go up to them and you'd be like, hey, can you sign my Bible? And so the guest speaker would sign his Bible with his favorite scripture verse. And so we all have a favorite scripture verse that means something to us. We'll ask each other, what's your life verse? What verse have you resonated with that is part of your identity? And a lot could say, well, you know, Philippians 4:13, John 3:16, Romans 8:28. We have these foundational scriptures that mean something to us. And Psalm 23 is a very well-known scripture. And I think it means a lot to a lot of people in here who grew up in church. If you didn't grow up in church, perhaps this is your first Sunday, you may not know the whole story of Psalm 23, but I bet you could probably quote some of it. It's a very well-known passage of Scripture. So this is what we're going to look at today, and we'll begin reading Psalm 23, one of our favorite passages, and it's so well-known. But one thing that I was thinking about, I can't remember a time as I grew up in church hearing a sermon on Psalm 23. Maybe some of you have, but I was thinking back. Maybe I was sleeping in church. I don't know. But there wasn't a time where I was like, yeah, Psalm 23. There was something that was so connected with me. And if you're anything like me, you'll hear a passage, a very familiar passage, and then you're like, oh, that's a good scripture, and I can memorize it, but there's just something that doesn't really resonate with me. Have you guys ever read the Bible, and then you'll read a passage, and then maybe a few days later you go back to it, and then it hits you different? You know, you read it, you're like, oh, man, what? I have never seen this. I read my Bible every day of my life for 80 years, whatever, and I haven't read this verse like that. There's something that resonated with me. And I believe that it's by the Holy Spirit and the act of God, perhaps God allows us to encounter something in our life to make passages come alive. When we revisit it, it just means something to us. That's what I want to hopefully do with you today in Psalm 23. So let's look at it. Psalm 23, starting in verse 1. Would you read it with me? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Dear Jesus, I pray that you meet with us today. I empty myself of self and ask to be filled of your Spirit. I pray that you open the eyes of our hearts, because it's through your Spirit, it's through you that we can understand you. So we ask for more of a pouring of your Spirit into our hearts. May we take away something from your passage today. May it not just go over our heads, but we could feel like we grab hold of something and get to walk out with it and apply it the rest of the week. Bless this church. Bless my church back at home. In Jesus' name, amen. There are two things that we need to fully understand in order to lock in Psalm 23. Two things that are very simple. That's not deep theology here. It's very simple, and I don't. So I just want to lower your expectation. It's nothing going to be profound. Two things that we're going to look at right now. We are sheep, and we need a shepherd. Two simple things. We are sheep, and we need a shepherd. In the Bible, sheep represent wealth and livelihood. They provide food, milk, wool, clothing. Sheep are used for trade and sacrifice. They were considered highly valuable, and watch this now, they were often bought with a price. Can we connect with that in some way? So despite being highly valuable and important, a lot of times someone who owned a lot of sheep, it showed their status, they were wealthy. Sheep were important, it was a part of life, it was for food, it was for milk, it was for livelihood. We are sheep. But despite the value of a sheep, despite that we were bought with a price, sheep are also very easily misled, right? Sheep are, for lack of a better word, dumb. There are videos online where you could see a sheep literally getting pulled out of a ditch to run out and then to turn back around and jump right back into the same ditch. Sheep are very easily misled. They're stupid. They need constant guidance and care. Sheep are entirely dependent upon their shepherd. We are sheep. And what we need today in 2025 is we need to make sure that we are following a shepherd, someone who has it all together. And I don't know about you, but I can say oftentimes I am, like the song we sang, prone to wander. Scripture says that sheep are all we like sheep have gone astray, and we end up doing things in our own way. Scripture also says sheep before its shearers are dumb. And I'm standing before you guys today. My name is Jake in 2025, and I'm a sheep, and I'm stupid sometimes. I often do the things I don't want to do, like Romans 7 talks about. Why do I keep going back to the thing that I don't want to do, but I don't do the thing that I want to do? we can very easily be led astray. We could very easily follow the wrong type of influence. Sheep are about the easiest animal that you can lead right into places they don't want to be. They're not supposed to be at, right? The wolf in sheep's clothing is a new meaning to me this week because I don't think we would notice it unless we're careful. All I'm saying is in 2025, we don't need to be following certain politicians. We don't need to be following a pope. We need to make sure that we're following a good shepherd. We are sheep, and we need a shepherd. No one understood the duties and responsibilities of a shepherd than a shepherd did. That was David, right? He was a shepherd boy. And he was the one who fought Goliath. And David said, I know what my sheep need because I've been there when they needed me. I know when the sheep wander off because I've been there and I've counted my sheep and I made sure that they all of them were there. And as soon as I said, oh wait, I'm missing one, I knew exactly who they were because I spent time with them. I knew when my sheep were hungry because I fed them. I knew when they were thirsty because I gave them water to drink. I know that my sheep are dependent on the shepherd, and I'm a shepherd, and I know the sheep need me. But here in Psalm 23, what David is doing, he's not writing as a shepherd talking about a sheep. He's writing as a sheep who's talking about a shepherd. Very critical. We are sheep. We're prone to wander, and times we're dumb. And we need a shepherd. We need someone who knows where they're going. Isn't it frustrating when you're following behind something in a parking lot? Someone in a parking lot who doesn't know where they're going? They got the right blinker on, their right blinker, their left blinker. They got hazards. They're looking both ways, and they're going 2 miles an hour, and then you're driving right past them like, what are you doing? We need a shepherd who knows where they're going. This is what David is talking about. Did we get that locked in? I think so. So, 3 points we're going to look at, and then we're going to go have a cookout. Amen? Let's go. Point number one, the shepherd is present. The shepherd is present. Look back at verse number one for me, if you will. The Lord is my shepherd. Would you say that first half with me? The Lord is my shepherd. Let's say it again, but emphasize is. The Lord is my shepherd. One more time. The Lord is my shepherd. The small two-letter, one-syllable word is. It shows that he's present. Not was. Not the Lord was my shepherd. Not the Lord will be my shepherd. An author once said the one-syllable, two-letter word is has enormous significance because it's suggesting right now the shepherd, the great I am, the one who created the moon and stars, everything, the one who Scripture says has the entire universe in the span of his hand. That's how large he is present with you today. In John chapter 10, it talks about Jesus identifies himself as the good shepherd. In his scripture, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And so me and my wife, we were sitting in bed, and I was talking about my message, and so we were talking about, you know, do sheep really know the voice of their shepherd? And so we talked to the great theologian, ChatGPT. And, you know, ChatGPT came up with a whole bunch of lists and all these bullet points and in-depth, and the short answer is yes. They know the voice of their shepherd. Not only that, they feel very secure and safe. When predators are around, you know, they scurry off. And sheep, they have poor depth perception. They can't see clear in front of them, so they have to follow a voice that they're familiar with to say, hey, everything's okay. I'm with you. David, as a shepherd, he knew this. He knew the importance of what sheep need. Sheep need constant guidance and care and constant knowing that he's present. Some of you today, maybe someone in this room, maybe you lost it. Maybe you just need to be reminded of this right now. The Lord, the shepherd, is present. There's this wide receiver in the Cincinnati Bengals, Chad Ochocinco. He's retired now. I liked him. I'm a Bears fan, unfortunately. But I like Chad Ochocinco because he was good, but not only was he was good, he was mouthy. I like those types of athletes where they can talk a big game, but they can also back it up. I mean, my favorite basketball player of all time, Michael Jordan. I know there's a big controversy of that, but I like Michael Jordan. My second favorite was Reggie Miller, and they had beef. And Reggie Miller, both of them, they could talk a big game. And a lot of my students, I overlook worship and student ministry. A lot of my students will say, no, it's LeBron James or even Steph Curry. But I will constantly preach Michael Jordan until I die. At Chad Ochocinco, that's what I was talking about. Chad Ochocinco, he put tape under his eyes, and he wrote 7-11 under them. It's not a Bible verse. But 7-Eleven, he put under his eyes to suggest, just like the convenience store 7-Eleven, I'm always open. Meaning you can't guard me, right? That's what Chad is saying. And he was true. He was good. But if I could just suggest, instead of 7-Eleven, we can look at Psalm 23:1 to say the Lord is always present with you today. That's point number one. Point number two, the shepherd is personal. The shepherd is personal. Let's look back to that verse, verse number one. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. You ready, church? Say it with me. The Lord is my shepherd. One more time. The Lord is my shepherd. Not a shepherd, not just the shepherd, not someone else's shepherd. No, David is saying, the Lord is my shepherd. It's personal. Pastor Craig Rochelle of Life Church, he has this scenario he talks about, and he says, the relationship you have with somebody is revealed in the name of which they call you. I'll give you an example. My name is Jake Cadwell. If you call me on the phone and you say, hello, Mr. Caldwell, you're probably a telemarketer and you're trying to sell me something, right? You don't have a good relationship with me. If you call me Jacob, we probably talk to each other. It's my formal name, but it's also you don't have a good close relationship with me. If you call me Jakester, you're one of two people, my Uncle Donnie or my dad. And those are the only two people that have called me Jakester. If you call me Dad, you're one of three special people in my life, one of which that I'm still working towards adopting. And my wife has names for me, but y'all don't get to hear that one. Because those are our names. Those are my names. I don't get to share that with anybody else because we have a relationship. It's personal. David knows this, and so he's writing this, the Lord is my shepherd, because there's a relationship there. Is the Lord your shepherd this morning? Do you feel his presence with you? Do you know your shepherd's voice? Can you recognize when the shepherd walks into your fence line? Now, I'm not standing before you today, and I don't want to fool you guys to make you think that I have this really strong personal relationship with my shepherd all the time, because that wouldn't be true. But Pastor Josh, I believe I've experienced it on occasion. And I know what it's like to be in constant care of my shepherd and his presence all the time. When I'm looking after him and I'm seeking for more answers and I'm caught up in his presence. And I'm not just showing up to church and just singing another worship song like it's nothing. Or opening my Bible and just reading another passage just because that's what I have to do. But I got to experience a really strong, intimate, personal relationship that I have with my shepherd. And there are times when I've constantly wandered off. Yeah, it's very easy for me, growing up in church, to get caught up into this trap of familiarity, where I just show up to church on Sunday because it's what I have to do. I show up to these events just because that's just what I do. I don't have this desire to have a connection with my shepherd. I'm just kind of roaming around, getting by. It's called a trap of familiarity. And I don't want to grow tired of the fact that my shepherd cares for me. I don't want to grow familiar in that. I don't want to grow tired of the fact that when I was 15, I rededicated my life to Jesus. And then later on, I started pursuing my pastor calling. I don't want to get over the fact that there was a man named Jesus that came to earth, lived a sinless life, died on the cross for my sins. I don't want to grow familiar with the fact that after he died, he was buried. And then for 3 days later, come on, church, then 3 days later, he rose from the grave. I don't want to get tired of the fact or grow dangerously familiar with the idea that after he rose up from the grave, he ascended up into heaven. Then after he ascended up into heaven, the Holy Spirit came down and now lives inside of me. I don't want to grow familiar. I don't want to grow distant from my shepherd. But here's something. Here, that night when me and my wife were talking about this passage, this is what she said. She could preach. It was really good. She said, just because we wander off and we don't have eyes on our shepherd doesn't mean he doesn't have eyes on me. Right? The shepherd is constantly, it's his purpose to care for his sheep because he knows that the sheep are dependent on him. So he's constantly looking, who's wandered off? Oh, I knew I was going to find you over here again. What are you doing? Come on, get back up. Let's get back over here where we belong. That's the relationship of our shepherd. Our relationship with our shepherd is also identified in our behavior. There's this movie I grew up watching. Born in 1992. Do I got some 1990s babies in here? Yeah, millennials, unite. Sorry. Power Rangers. 1992, this movie called Babe. It's about a pig that grew up on a sheep farm. Anyone see that movie? He grew up on a sheep farm, and Babe, he didn't have a mommy pig or a daddy pig that raised him. He was raised by this sheep dog, this border collie, and named Fly. And so all Babe wants to do is just become a sheep dog. He just wants to be just like his mom. And so there's this scene of Mr. Haggett on Haggett Farms. He talks to the pig, and he says, "Pig, go get the sheep." Sheep are in the pen, and they're doing their sheep thing. So then Babe goes in, and you know, there's a pig and the sheep. They start having a conversation, and so it cuts over to Haggett, and Haggett looks over, and then all he hears is. And anyway, so there, and then it cuts back over to Babe, and then they're having a conversation. And then Babe says to the sheep, "Hey, can you guys just go to the truck for me?" He builds a relationship with them. So Haggett, when he's about to, you know, give up on Pig, on Babe, he hears something. He turns around, and then sheep are walking in a single file line all the way to the truck. And then Mr. Haggett's like, "What in the world? This is crazy. This is bizarre. I'm on to something here." Can I suggest when you see sheep walking a single file line, when they're in sync with each other and they're walking, when they look healthy, when they don't look like a bag of bones or their fur isn't matted or gross or disgusting, they look like they've been taken care of, people don't notice or compliment the sheep. They start complimenting the shepherd. Can I suggest something or ask something? When's the last time someone noticed your shepherd by the way in which we're walking? When you're walking into work, fellows, and we're talking with our friends and we're talking with our colleagues, how's our mouth in those situations? Teenagers, young people, when we're growing up in life and purity is under attack in every which way on social medias and suggestive apps, how is it that we're going to stay pure if we don't have a good shepherd that we have a relationship with? Our walk shows and identifies our relationship with our shepherd because our behavior is in alignment and following him. I believe Satan wants to attack our young people in this next generation. What's heavy on my heart with my students back at home, and just it's true everywhere, is that 20% of students lose their virginity before they're 15. they're constantly being attacked by the enemy. And they're constantly pursuing a view of what they think they should be. And they're losing track and being pulled away from a relationship of their good shepherd. All I'm saying is in 2025, it would be difficult looking for my partner. We need to pray for our young people. We need to pray that Satan backs off. We need to pray protection over them. Here's some advice. Here's some dating advice. I wasn't planning on going this way. Sorry, Pastor Josh. Here's some dating advice. Next time, young person, you're interested in somebody, a guy or a girl, this is how you need to pray. You say, "Dear Jesus, show me the things they want to hide from me. Dear Jesus, show me the red flags they don't want me to see. Dear Jesus, can you walk beside me and just reveal something about their character that they don't want me to know?" That's how you need to pray. God willing, he'll protect you and he'll guide you away from the bad kind of people. That was point number two. Point number three, the shepherd provides. The shepherd provides. Look back at that verse, first verse. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." In other words, I have all that I need. In other words, I lack nothing. What a huge statement of trust in the Lord that David makes here. As believers, we can agree that the shepherd provides, but do we believe him to provide all that we need? We can believe that he has the ability to, yet today we may be stuck with this reality that we have this massive need that has yet to be filled. We see the need that we want God to provide for, and nothing is happening. David's statement of trust here doesn't deny the reality that we may still have unmet needs, but it looks beyond our current reality into the reality of the one who can change it. This is not what the statement means. This statement here doesn't mean that because the Lord is my shepherd, he will give me everything that I want and I'll never have to endure suffering. It's not true at all. And Romans chapter 8 talks about clearly that we won't have to endure suffering. That everything that is brought into our life, every bit of suffering, God will use it, Romans 8:28, for our good, because he's making us to be more like Jesus. All things work together for good to them that love him according to his purpose. What Paul is saying in Romans 8 is the pain that we feel now is nothing compared to the glory that's coming. And God uses every single bit of that suffering in our lives to get us there. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I have all that I need because my shepherd provides what I need. I have all that I need because I have my shepherd. Pray for me and my wife. My wife is a Disney adult. And not really. We go to Disney every year, and we're caught up in that magic where, you know, we see the looks on our kids' faces and they're like, "Oh man, I remember when we adopted Hunter, the look on his face when he met Miss Mickey Mouse, I was like, oh man, we're going here every year for the rest of our lives." No, but my wife loves planning it out, and she does a fantastic job. And the thing about Disney is we have to endure the road trip to get there. The first time we drove up to Disney, it was 24 hours. The second time we drove, we got there in 16. So we're getting down to a science. And so I'm hopeful we can make it in there in 10. Probably not. The destination is where we want to go. And when I'm driving, you know, I got my maps pulled up. And when I start running out of gas, I'm not looking at my gas gauge, right? I'm looking ahead at where the best exit is. That's the same type of mindset we have. The Lord is our shepherd. He provides. The Lord is our shepherd. He's saying, hey, don't look at what you're going through right now. Focus on me. Because how you're going to get through the valley of the shadow of death is not just worrying about the death of around you and the darkness of what's going on. It's focusing on our shepherd who's going to get us out of it. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. We sang, Christ is all I need. Because we follow the shepherd, doesn't mean that our road trip is going to be smooth. It doesn't mean we can't keep driving with confidence or without confidence. Because we know the journey has a purpose. And we know the destination of where we're going. Following the shepherd doesn't erase the bumps in the road. The shifts our focus from the need and the moment. But it shifts it from the need into the one who promises to provide at every stop along the way. The statement, I shall not want, I lack nothing, I have all that I need, means that we are utterly content in the shepherd's care. Because of such care, we don't crave or desire anything more. Because ultimately, the care of the flock is entirely dependent. Listen to me. The care of the flock is entirely dependent upon the management of the shepherd. Here's my main idea. Here's the main point. When we recognize that we are sheep, we discover the joy of trusting the shepherd who is always present, always personal, and always providing. Let's pray.
Thanks again for listening today. Grace Baptist Church exists to help people worship God, connect to others, and serve both. If there's anything at all we can do for you, please reach out to us. You can reach us on Facebook as well as online at experiencegrace.church. Hope you have a great day.